The subject of this teaching is witchcraft and occultism. In Exodus 20, verse 4 and 5, when God was giving Moses the Ten Commandments, He pronounced a curse on idolatry. He said that those who bow down to idols are those who hate God, and they're involved in an iniquity. He said a curse will go down to their children, to the third and the fourth generation. Occultism is closely related to idolatry. It is idolatry. It is identified in the Bible as an abomination to God, which are the words that God uses against idolatry. And idolatry is having when something else has the place of God in our hearts, and it can take many forms. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 9 through 12, has a list of occultic practices that accompany idolatry. That's Deuteronomy 18:9, and these are the modern words for these practices in the book of Deuteronomy that were written about 3,500 years ago. Today we call them horoscopes and astrology, tarot cards, spiritism, mediums, cleansings by occultic means, witchcraft, Ouija boards, sorcery, alcohol and drugs are very close to. They're an aspect of the occult. It's idolatry. And Eastern religions, the Day of the Dead in Mexico, Halloween in our country, is a time when people are honoring really the demonic spirits, and it's a very dangerous time. When people are involved in these things, these are the curses that the Bible teaches that can result. And there's an extensive list in Deuteronomy 28 of these curses, spiritual curses. People are visited by spirits at night. They hear voices threatening them. Many times they think that they're crazy, but usually this is caused by many times by generational curses, by witchcraft curses, by their own involvement in the occult or their parents' or grandparents' involvement in the occult. Now, these voices and so forth, these symptoms can also be caused by a chemical imbalance in the brain. And so we need to be careful about labeling someone as having witchcraft or curses on their life until we're sure, perhaps if possible, they need to see a doctor and be examined and have their blood examined for imbalance. But many times these, in my experience, it's caused by involvement in the occult or by witchcraft curses. Also, involvement in these practices can cause mental problems, mental confusion, mental illness, learning problems. It can cause emotional problems such as depression and fear and bad dreams. It can result in poverty, in accidents, in physical problems, sicknesses such as epilepsy, children born deformed, cancer, and early death, etc. And these are some examples of people that I've ministered to. Several years ago, a father brought his 15 or 16-year-old boy for ministry. And the boy was very troubled. He could not talk. He was looking down at the floor. And the father said that his son had been having emotional or mental problems for several years. But he said in the last few months, he's become violent. And now his mother is afraid to be alone with him, and we don't know what to do with him. He said, would you pray for him? And in my experience, when children or teenagers are having some sort of serious problem such as this, many times it's caused by generational curses or witchcraft curses. So I said to the father, first let me ask you some questions. And I asked the father if he had ever been involved in these occultic practices or in idolatry, which is very common in Mexico. He said that yes, before he became a Christian, that both he and his wife had been priests in a spiritist church, which is a church that supposedly contacts the spirits of the dead. In my understanding, this is counterfeit. They don't really contact the spirits of the dead. They may be talking to some voice that sounds like a person's dead grandmother, but it's not their dead grandmother. It's a demonic spirit masquerading as their grandmother. The Bible says there's a chasm fixed between the living and the dead, and that we cannot contact spirits of the dead. So this has been forbidden by God, and any supposed contact with the dead is deception according to the Bible. So I said to this father, I believe the boy's problem may be because you and your wife were priests in this spiritist church. So I had him say, Heavenly Father. He told me also that his father had been a priest in the spiritist church. So I had him forgive his father and then repent for his and his wife's involvement in this forbidden practice, and to say, Lord, I repent. I renounce and break all generational and inherited curses that have come down to my son. I break and renounce this curse that's come down to my son. The moment he said that, I looked over at the boy, and the boy was looking up, smiling. He was perfectly normal. His depression, acting strange and acting crazy, acting violent, immediately left. He went to lunch with the other students at the Bible school where this ministry took place. He was completely set free simply by ministering to the Father. On the same line, I had a young couple come to me in a church in Mexico, and they brought their little 4-year-old boy. And he had been born with pain in both arms. So I interviewed the parents and learned that they had been deeply involved in occultic practices, including spiritism, before they became Christians. I had them repent and renounce and break any generational curses, any occult curses that were coming down through them. And the little boy told his parents that all the pain immediately left his arms. I ministered to a 20-year-old woman, and she had cancer of the breast. And I learned that she had been involved in witchcraft and had been placing curses on people, even on members of her own family before she became a Christian. And that she had gotten angry at a relative and had gone back into witchcraft just before this cancer started. And had placed a curse on that person. I told her, you know, how dangerous spiritually it was for her to do this. I had her repent of that sin, to forgive her, all her generations for their involvement in witchcraft and in these occultic sins, for her to repent of placing curses on her relatives. Remember the teaching that if you curse someone, the curse will come back on you. And this is an example of that very thing. So I had her renounce and repent for placing curses on the people, renounce her involvement, renounce the devil, and so forth. And I prayed for healing for the cancer of her breast, and she felt tremendous heat. There were several of us sitting around her praying for her, and all of us felt the heat emanating from her body. It was just as if we were sitting next to a stove. It was very, very hot, the heat coming from her body. And it went on for about 15 minutes. And then she told us she was just sitting with her eyes closed during that time. And then she opened her eyes and said that the Spirit of God had been ministering to her, and all the pain had left her breast. I believe that God may have healed her breast instantly in that encounter. I also have had many experiences of ministering to people for witchcraft, specifically for witchcraft. And a typical example is that a lady came to me at a church in Mexico and asked me to pray for her. She had pains in her head and psychological problems, and also she had pains in her matrice, which is the word in Spanish for her female organs. And I asked her when sicknesses had started, and she said 5 years before. And what happened at that time? She said that her husband had left her for a woman who was a witch, and that this woman had been placing witchcraft curses on her for 5 years, and she had been suffering sicknesses for 5 years. So the first step in ministry is forgiveness. I had this lady forgive her husband for abandoning her, repent for any judgments against him, forgive this woman who is a witch. And some people teach that you should send the curses back to people, but that's not what Jesus said. He said, bless and do not curse. And remember, if you curse someone or send curses back to someone, which is the same, that those curses return. So Jesus said we should pray blessings on people. So I had her forgive that woman who's a witch, pray blessings on her, and then to take authority in the name of Jesus. Remember, Galatians 3:13 gives us the authority to break curses. And so I had her take that authority. Jesus became a curse for us on the cross and break these witchcraft curses. And then I had her say, I renounce any spirits of witchcraft, spirits of sickness, spirits of death that have come into me. I command them to leave. And she started coughing and vomiting, which is sometimes how spirits leave people. And then I prayed for healing, commanded the pain to leave. And she said all the pain left her head and her body, and she felt that she was completely healed. So praise be to God. I ministered to a man about maybe 40 years old in a prison. And he was deaf in his right ear. And I asked him, when did this problem begin? You see, I regard physical sickness as a bad fruit. Deafness is a bad fruit. And I want to find out what is the bad root. He said that this deafness in his right ear started when he was 7 years old. What happened at that time? He said he had an older sister who got involved with a Ouija board. And she became deeply involved with this. And then she started getting more deeply involved in witchcraft. And he was very afraid of it. And one time she was trying to get him to be involved in playing with this Ouija board. And when he was 7 years old, and he put his hands over his ears and ran away from her. And she pointed at him and said, you're going to go deaf, which was a curse. And shortly after that, he went deaf in his right ear. So how did I minister to him? I had him say, I forgive my sister for placing this curse on me. I break and renounce the witchcraft curse that she placed by the authority of Christ, who became a curse for me. Immediately he said that his right ear popped and he could hear for the first time since he was 7 years old. So we have the authority to break curses. I've also ministered to many people who've been dedicated to a virgin or a saint. The popular god in Mexico is the Virgin of Guadalupe. It is an idol. There's a cathedral of Guadalupe in Mexico City. There are many little shrines to the Virgin of Guadalupe. They call her the Queen of Heaven, which of course was the name of one of the idols. I think it was in the book of Jeremiah. And they pray many times to the Virgin of Guadalupe, or they pray to other virgins. There are about 70 or 80 names of different virgins. Each one of them is supposedly a reincarnation of the Virgin Mary. They believe that the Virgin of Guadalupe, it's a reincarnation that appeared to some children in a field of corn many years ago, 200 to 300 years ago. They thought it was a reincarnation of the Virgin Mary, who appeared near the in the area of Guadalupe, Mexico, and so they call her the Virgin of Guadalupe. And they have these shrines to her all over Mexico. They have little shrines built by the sides of the road, little shrines built up on the mountains. We passed some in coming from a mission a few days ago, and this is what I believe the Bible would call high places. It's places that that there's an idol, and the people come and leave flowers, and they pray to that idol for healing or for all sorts of blessings. So many times I minister to people who have made, who have dedicated their children to the Virgin of Guadalupe or to some other virgin or to some saint. There are many shrines to saints in Mexico, and I'm sure in other countries such as India, there are many idols and many places where the people go and honor the idols. There are holy days in Mexico where they carry these shrines and do honor to these saints or to these virgins. A mother brought her 15-year-old daughter for prayer, and the girl had suffered with migraine headaches all of her life. And I noticed that the girl's name was Lupe, which is a short form of the name Guadalupe. And so I asked the mother, did you dedicate your daughter to the Virgin of Guadalupe? And she said, yes. And I said, that's idolatry. Now, I don't say that in condemnation. The mothers, the families love their children, of course, and they want to bless them. And this is a cultural and a religious practice. But the Bible teaches that we're to dedicate ourselves and our children only to our Heavenly Father and to the Lord Jesus Christ. If we dedicate them to anything else, it's idolatry. And so I explained that, and I said, I believe this caused a curse on your daughter. I led the mother to say, Heavenly Father, forgive me for dedicating my daughter to the Virgin of Guadalupe. In the name of Jesus, I break and renounce that dedication. Immediately, the daughter said that her migraine headaches stopped. I ministered to an elderly brother and sister. The sister was very sick. She was they had to bring her in on a pallet. She could not walk. And in ministering to her, I learned that the mother had been very religious and that she had dedicated her daughter to the Virgin of Doloroso, which means pain. She had dedicated her daughter to an idol of pain, and this woman had had sickness and pain all of her life. And so I had her forgive her mother and to break and renounce that dedication, and prayed for her healing, and she felt much better. She was able to get up from the little bed and to walk out of the room. She felt much improved. Her brother was 65 years old. He seemed to be a very intelligent man. He said that he had never been able to keep a job, that he had been in poverty all of his life. And I learned that his mother had dedicated him to the Virgin of Pobreza, which means poverty. In other words, she had dedicated her son to an idol of poverty, and he had suffered poverty all of his life. So I had him forgive his mother and break and renounce that dedication. And I know that dedication was broken, and pray that he was set free. I recently ministered to a lady who had much pain in her stomach. And I learned that her mother had dedicated her to a saint. And I had her forgive and renounce and break that dedication, and all the pain left the woman's stomach. I ministered to another lady down in the south of Mexico, and she had had pain in both of her knees all of her life. And I asked her, you know, what happened and how this might have happened. I started interviewing her. I learned that her mother had had several miscarriages. She had lost three babies. And so she had made a promise, a vow, to a saint named Saint Martin or Saint Martin. And there's a shrine to that saint in a place in Mexico. And she promised that saint, she said, if I'm able to conceive and have a baby, I will carry that baby and walk on my knees for about 100 yards on the pavement and present my baby to Saint Martin at the shrine. Well, she had the baby. She fulfilled her vow. She carried the baby in her arms as she walked on her knees, and the baby developed without any cartilage in her knees. And so she had terrible knee pain all of her life. So I had the lady forgive her mother and break the vow to Saint Martin. And immediately all the pain left this woman's knees. She was able to walk and to bend her knees normally. She was thanking God. I believe that God not only did a healing, but a miracle of restoration, and restored the cartilage in her knees. In ministering to people in Mexico, I find many times that there's a connection with chronic pain of the throat. Throat pain to generational curses. I ministered to a 7-year-old girl in Mexico City, and she had chronic pain in her throat, sore throat, all of her life. And I learned that her grandmother was a witch, and I had her forgive her grandmother and break and renounce any witchcraft that had come down to her, any curses that her grandmother may have placed against her. Because I've, in many cases, I've ministered to people whose own mother or father or grandmother or grandfather placed witchcraft curses against them. And of course, that's inconceivable. You can't understand how a grandmother could put a witchcraft curse on her own granddaughter. But these people are servants of Satan. They're full of evil. They do the devil's bidding. And so they do terrible, evil things. And there is power in their curses. This little girl was healed of her sore throat when we broke these curses. I ministered to a very faithful couple in a church. And this couple's 2-year-old baby had died 2-3 years before. And we learned that the father of the wife, the grandfather of this little baby, had placed curses on this child when it was in the womb. And it was born and it died. And so I had him forgive this father and break any witchcraft he was placing on their family. Many times people have a lot of fear. And this goes back to a spirit of fear that comes to them because of witchcraft that they've practiced in their lives, or being involved in tarot or spiritism or cleansings or a Wicca or any of these curses. Many times people in Mexico on what they call the Dia de los Muertos, the Day of the Dead, go to cemeteries. Thousands of people fill the cemeteries in Mexico, and they go there to visit the graves of their ancestors, their dead relatives, which is all right. It's certainly all right to honor your dead relatives and your ancestors. But many times on this day, they present offerings to the dead. They take them food or flowers. Sometimes they take liquor, alcohol, and pour it out on the grave of a grandfather if he loved alcohol. And sometimes they stay during the night and commune with the spirits of the dead. They try to talk to their dead grandfather or dead grandmother or their dead mother or what have you. Well, that's spiritism, and that's entering into an abomination, and it can open the door to curses coming down on their life.